The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
The whole new hour of a numbers game with me, Joe Cirillo, alongside Kelly Bidlin. Going to have some fun here. Going to keep the great guests rolling later on in the hour with our own JVT. You catch him, of course, all the time on VSiN Primetime. I believe he's going to be doing some follow the money over the next 2 weeks while Mitch and Paulie alternate vacations post-Super Bowl.
He's bouncing around, an ultimate utility guy here at the network, JVT. Another John on today's show, so it's we'll make sure we'll have the right John.
Officer, you got the wrong John. JVT, he was bouncing around last week. He was one of the few. Was he the only one here at VSiN who went down to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
Oh, no. I think we had probably three or four people down there, just none of them in a true VSiN capacity.
Right.
We just JVT piggybacked off of other people.
Doing a lot back there, you know. Jack of all trades, master of none. That's what we call JVT here at the network. He's going to join us in about a half hour, break down this locked and loaded NBA slate. Kelly, we alluded to it before in hour number one towards the end there. We've got some NFL players with odds courtesy of DraftKings for new teams. Deebo Samuel, Aaron Rodgers, of course, because who wouldn't want that in their locker room and in their clubhouse. But before we get to those guys, there are some rumors, and I don't know if we have official odds on this this specific cat yet, but Matt Stafford might be on his way out with the Rams. We know the team has already come out and said that they're going to look to move Cooper Kupp. After that happened, Malik Nabers on My Giants tweeted out the number 9, the number 10, and then a Rams emoji on Twitter. The tweet has since been deleted, but I mean, Stafford to the Giants, does this thing have steam? They did just hire his brother-in-law, Chad Hall, to be an assistant coach on the offensive side.
All right, now, but that is, like, that's the only nugget, right?
Malik Nabers wants it, so arguably your best player is asking
Malik
for it.
Malik Nabers wants a good quarterback?
Yeah,
I'm shocked to hear things like this. I don't think that's happening. There's still enough talent. What would be the reason for L.A.?
Well, the Rams want to unload Kupp.
Sure,
and
fine.
If that pisses Stafford off and he says, I want to go with him, and the Giants say, hey, we'll take them both off your hands.
I mean, they do. Are they still living in the same cul-de-sac together? I think that's a thing.
Oaks?
Yeah, they're still like in the same neighborhood. So, you know, maybe. I mean, look, I think the Cooper Kupp thing, I'm going to guess even Stafford understands this. Like, you're not the same player even that you were a year ago, year and a half ago. Puka Nacua has clearly taken over as the number one guy there. He is a special, special talent. I don't even want to know where he ranks if we just did wide receiver power rankings in the league right now. For me, like, he's probably a top 10 wide receiver, might even be higher than that in the NFL.
I feel like he has to be, and I feel like he would come in somewhere in the 7, 8, 9 range, and he'd probably be underrated by coming in.
Probably.
He is special. He's got phenomenal hands. I mean, you know, Kupp's thing was always his route running capability. Cooper Kupp at his peak ran maybe the crispest routes I've ever seen in this league. So Nacua, I don't know if his route running capabilities are right there, but one other thing Kupp always did really well was block. Nacua might be a better blocker.
He's incredible. The point is, there's a lot of young talent. We saw what they did with the defense in the draft last year, wisely going out to Florida State and grabbing a couple of talented defensive linemen. There's so much youth on this team. We just saw them win the division. Gave the Eagles a little bit of a run for their money in the playoffs, and you've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I would be shocked if Matthew Stafford left that situation.
Yeah, it seems unlikely. It's just, you know, it's right now, football season's done, and it's an interesting talking point. I will say this, though. As a Giants fan, I'm torn because part of me looks at this and goes, oh, my God, if they got Stafford and Kupp and you pair Kupp with Nabers, that could be really exciting and really fun to watch. Stafford also gets rid of the ball quicker than almost any quarterback I've ever seen, and the Giants, for about the 9th straight year, have had an awful offensive line. So Stafford getting rid of the ball quickly there, you know, something Daniel Jones did the opposite of. Jones seemed to hold the ball forever.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you can actually rattle off a few wins with Stafford out there. The other piece of me is going, I've already seen the Giants suck long enough. If they just give us one more terrible year, can we get Arch Manning? Just one more terrible year.
I think they absolutely can, Joe, especially how the rest of that division's stacking up these days. I mean, look, the Cowboys.
My goodness.
Now, however you feel about the Cowboys, they're going to be healthier. I mean, we'll assume they're going to be healthier than what they were last season.
You can't not be healthier.
Right,
yeah.
Let's assume they're healthier than they were last season. So they're a team that's not bad. No matter how you feel about them, I'm not talking they're going to go win a Super Bowl, but they're not bad. And I think you clearly got the Commanders and then, you know, the Super Bowl champions that are actually above the Cowboys. So, yeah, Giants stuck in the cellar of the NFC East. I think they could have a very easy time having a bad season next year. And Joe, over the next week and a half, we might have to get into this more because it is you Giants fans. I feel so bad for. Oh gosh.
Oh, you shouldn't. I don't complain.
And then like the just the desperation, just the fact to even bring up a Stafford rumor. It's just like they were just grasping for anything. Please,
look,
give me
the way
something.
I see it, man. I've gotten to see two Super Bowls very early on in my lifetime, including probably the best Super Bowl ever, the win over the undefeated Patriots. The Giants could never win another Super Bowl, and I'm lucky in that respect.
How did you feel about Eli getting snubbed?
It was ridiculous. That was atrocious. Look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. To me, that's just those writers who go, oh, well, I can't let this guy be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but then they're going to vote for him next year. It's ridiculous.
That's what I said to him. Like, he's going to get in, so I don't even really know why it's a story, but writers get to make, or the voters get to make it a story by just, right, like, going out of their way to make sure he doesn't get in the first
year. And this is a bit of a tangent here as we digress, but it's the same thing with the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, these guys get all high and mighty, and half of them couldn't hit a freaking ball off a tee if it was right in front of him. And then they want to make Billy Wagner wait 10 years to get into the Hall of Fame. Look, I'm a John Franco guy. When you look at left-handed relievers, Franco, the all-time save leader for lefties, I love John Franco. Billy Wagner's the most dominant left-handed reliever of all time. At his peak, by the way, you want to talk about dominance? You want to talk about fear when a guy comes in the ninth inning? More fear in the eyes of a batter when Billy Wagner came in than Mariano at his peak. To make him wait 10 years, it's a joke. It's these guys getting all high and mighty because they got cut from the seventh grade team.
About a year ago, I tore a muscle in my calf muscle returning a punt, messing around with Gil and Matt after a show. I'm actually just sitting over here wondering now how well I would do hitting a ball off of a tee. You know, like we make fun of it, but like it's not something I've attempted in I don't know 30 years or something. So
we've got
found that video quick. Oh yeah,
does Matt have a boot? Is that what I'm seeing?
Matt was a former college baseball pitcher. There it is, right there.
Well, I know Matt and I both played baseball, but I'm seeing he's got a little boot on him too.
Kelly with a little bit of a hitch in the giddy up, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle after that.
Is there more to come here, or is this?
No,
just...
that was the whole thing. He cut right to the injury.
Right to it.
How Isaiah got
man down, there. Sniper.
Yeah.
So no odds on Stafford. We do have odds on Aaron Rodgers, and great work there, Isaiah. By the way, pulling that one up. I needed to see that. That'll wake me up. You wanted more energy at the last commercial break. You told me, Isaiah. Now you're going to get energy out of me. We do have odds on Aaron Rodgers to go to the Giants, 12-1. I pray and hope and absolutely just can't imagine that this would ever happen. Steelers 2-1. Deshaun Elliott feels the same way I do. We just heard that quote from Deshaun Elliott saying, get your ass in the retirement home. I mean, that's a pretty profound statement, would you say?
Yeah. You know what my initial reaction to that was, though? It's the, man, way to punch up, right? Like, way to get your name in the news cycle along with Aaron Rodgers by making a statement. Because yeah, I don't like you were CSN. I don't even remember. Maybe you want to check in with old Mike Tomlin before you go and blast a player like that, a Hall of Fame level quarterback.
Yeah, that was CS line. Look, I mean, it's a hell of a statement to make. I agree with the sentiment wholeheartedly. I think this guy's a cancer anywhere he goes. This Jets team this past season had way more talent than their record would indicate.
Oh.
And then you look at what happened with Robert Saleh getting canned and the coach firing. And I think that was completely orchestrated by Rodgers. I think the issue there was the offense. At the time when Saleh was there, their defense was performing. They struggled week one against the Niners, and then their defense got on a roll. And even you look at the loss to Denver, right? What was it, a 10-9 loss? That loss was not an indictment on the defense. Therefore, it was not an indictment on Robert Saleh. And they wanted to move on from Hackett and make the change because the offense was abysmal. And they go to London to play Minnesota, and Aaron Rodgers throws three interceptions, including one on a drive that should have been the game-winning drive in London at the end there. And Rodgers blows the game. And there's rumors and murmurs that they want to move on from Hackett. So Rodgers steps in, gets Saleh canned. I mean, I think the guys stopped playing because they realized that it was Rodgers' team. It wasn't Saleh's team. It wasn't their team. I don't think you saw the best out of Breece Hall.
No,
I don't think you saw the best out of Sauce Gardner. I think that a lot of the key players, Gardner, Hall, Quinnen Williams, who can make up a playoff caliber team, weren't in it because of Rodgers.
I think it's pretty obvious that this Aaron Rodgers' situation was not just a disaster, but you set back. When he came in, there was a lot of bright spots on young players on that team and what their future could be. And all we saw was basically those players all get pissed off during the Aaron Rodgers era there. So who knows how that's going to affect the future of the Jets. Getting back to these odds, let's just run through these team by team, Joe. I agree with you, Steelers. They're the short shot 2-1. I don't really think it's
a Mike Tomlin fit.
Yeah, organizational fit. I just don't believe in it at all. Okay, Raiders 3-1, I think is worth a discussion. Let's maybe get back there. What am I missing on some of these other teams, though? Niners, no matter what you feel about Brock Purdy, they're going to stick with him, right? Vikings just drafted a quarterback last year. There has been reports out there about the Titans. I don't understand that one at all from Aaron Rodgers wanted to go there. The Colts still have a young quarterback that they're still at least got to figure out what's going on with. I don't see them bringing in Aaron Rodgers. Rams have a Super Bowl winning quarterback, as we just discussed. Then there's your Giants we just talked through.
Oh, he ain't going to Cleveland. Give me a break.
I would think that
Aaron Rodgers wants to go to Cleveland.
Miles Garrett's trying to get out of Cleveland. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is running to go to Cleveland. So I guess my whole point here, I think the Raiders are actually an interesting team. But then we're talking, if you actually wanted to bet into this market, I think there's probably some teams that are more live that are way longer odds.
Like teams not on the board.
Yeah, teams that are not on the board. And DraftKings has every single team listed. So I think you could go take a look at these and maybe make a case for a better situation than what we're seeing with a lot of these shorter shows.
Well, we'll have to circle back. It's not a long shot. It's not the sexiest number, but I think 3-1 Raiders makes too much sense, especially with Brady there.
Me too.
If they don't get Shador, if they don't trade up and get Sanders, I think Rodgers is a near lock, I'll say. More numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serrallo. Up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serrallo, taking you through this Wednesday morning. Kelly, we've got some golf this weekend. You caught me off guard with this bit last time. I didn't know what was coming, and we're getting tweets about me looking like a bartender at a country club. But now I'm fully prepared for it, so let's go country clubbing.
Yeah. Joe getting the toss in. I like it. Dude, we're going to need to set up like the picture-in-picture sort of thing, Isaiah.
So we can get the dance moves.
Right, exactly.
That
so we can get Joe's dance move involved as well.
This is how I felt at Stadium Swim on our on our Super Bowl coverage when I had no shirt, the suit jacket on, and I was in the pool going...
Oh, man, I bet you did. I bet you were styling out there. How packed was that actually on Sunday?
You know, it was my first experience for the Super Bowl, so I thought it was a good crowd. I was told last year's crowd was actually better.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I mean, that's kind of the whole, that's the entirety of the city. I've heard that this was a down year for Las Vegas terms of Super Bowl traffic.
It was really weird. I'm sure there's some smarter guys out there that know better explanations than me, but everybody I've talked to thought it was down, and then you looked at, you saw hotel rooms.
$30 rooms.
Yeah, I mean, you saw room prices going around, and it was crazy. I do think there's something to, Super Bowl weekend has gotten too expensive here in Vegas, and it just rules out a bunch of people. I mean, when we're talking about reserving some of these tables and spots to watch the games, it gets really pricey. So, all right, in transitioning after we just played a country club and open. There we go.
Well, can we get the music going at least? I mean, you got the picture-in-picture. I'm not dancing if there's no music, guys.
I love breaking down the B-roll, because who's the actors in the background? Yeah, there you go, Joey. There we go.
I'm auditioning for the next Legacy Club commercial.
That's right. Yeah, you might make that. I don't think I'm not stylish enough to make
that. Are you already in one of the Legacy Club commercials?
No.
You're not in that one? It's got like Femi and Dustin. You're not?
No. Not stylish enough.
Maybe
that was cool.
Wishful thinking. Yeah. Speaking of the Legacy Club, folks, you can check it out. VSiN fans, it's time to plan your Vegas getaway. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering 15% off at three incredible properties. Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and the Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool, Stadium Swim, can't beat it, or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with the promo code VSiN15. So book your stay now, CircaLasVegas.com. Use that code VSiN15 to get 15% off your Vegas adventure. starts here. Kelly, Genesis Invitational, you broke it down with our guy Sia in hour number one a little bit. We obviously got Sia's best bets. What are you in agreement with him on? What are you maybe going a little different direction from him on?
Yeah, a couple I am in agreement with him on, and then a couple in a different direction. Just I want to circle back to a couple of the big things about the tournament. Again, this is a signature event. We usually see this played in the LA area. They decided to move this a couple weeks ago because of the wildfires out there. Complete think that's completely understandable. They went to decided to move it to Torrey Pines. They're going to play all four rounds on Torrey Pines South. That is important to keep in mind because that is not what we usually see the setup for Farmers Insurance Open. So if you're doing any of your own golf handicapping at home, important note for that. Okay, this is a signature event. 72 golfers. It is one of the couple signature events that does have a cut. So it'll be top 50 in ties, plus if you're within 10 shots, I think that means. So, Joe, how big of a cut is it going to be? It's going to be the bulk of the players that are starting actually make it to the weekend. So keep that in mind if you're looking at make-miss cut prices and they seem off to you, that there's a reason why. Again, if you're playing in one-and-dones this week, there is big-time money on the line for this one, so you're going to probably want to use one of your bigger golfers. Also, a lot of the reports about the course itself. Torrey Pines South plays tougher than Torrey Pines North to begin with. And we're hearing a lot of reports about this being a little bit more major level conditions out there. This is already one of the tougher courses to play in the country, but the rough has grown out a little bit more. We've heard and seen some videos about that. Here was one that Ben Griffin took the other day just to show, hey, go off the fairway. This is what you might be dealing with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, rough-wise for the weekend. So I do expect some tough conditions, and throw on top of that some weather that is looking pretty ugly throughout the weekend. We talked to Sia Nejad. I know he was talking, targeting some early round guys on Thursday, tomorrow for first round leader bets. I think that's smart. It looks like conditions will be a bit calmer tomorrow morning, but they really do pick up wind wise in the afternoon. We're looking at 15, 17 mile an hour consistent winds and then gusts up to about mid 20s. So that will affect things. Friday, Saturday, Sunday right now don't look as bad. Friday, they're still up there with gusts, but weekend doesn't look as bad. But just keep in mind, right on the ocean here, that stuff can always change. Okay, as far as the field goes, we do have Scottie Scheffler as your short shot this week. No surprise, 4-1. This is best field we've seen in the PGA Tour so far this season. Rory right behind him, plus 650. Colin Morikawa 16-1, JT 18-1, Hideki Matsuyama 22-1, Ludvig Åberg 22-1. These are over at DraftKings right now. Patrick Cantlay 30-1, Rasmus Højgaard has been playing some great golf, 35-1, Tommy Fleetwood 35-1, Sung Jae-im 35-1, everybody else 40-1 or longer. Okay, just when we're talking Torrey Pines, this is a course that is going to test you off the tee. You got to be long off the tee is very important here. Sets up your approach shots that are tough into small greens, tough approach. Need to look at good long iron players. Need to look at guys that are long off the tee. Because of the rough that we're hearing about, I'm even factoring in accuracies and more of a premium this week than I did just a few weeks ago at this course. So we've seen this be a tough accuracy course because fairways are not all that wide. We're talking about 28 yards. However, it hasn't been that penal in the past if you do miss the fairway and end up in the rough. I think what we just saw from that video of Ben Griffin, I expect playing out of the rough to be a lot tougher this week.
You know, weed whacker.
Yeah, exactly.
That was insane.
Exactly. And look, this is a Farmers Insurance already a tournament where we've seen guys that have come to this course that win here are usually higher quality golfers. 26 of the last 31 winners heading into the Farmers had four previous career wins. Harris English adding on top of that stat, 20 of the last 23 winners had played at least six Farmers Insurance Open events. You are looking for some guys that have a little bit of course history here. I also guys, though, that just play some of these major level courses and tougher courses. Those are the guys I think you need to be looking at. As far as my bets for the week, four outrights for you. I do agree with C. It's probably going to be one of the bigger names that we see win this event this weekend. I started my card with Morikawa. Anybody that's been following my golf stuff, I am locked in on Morikawa, waiting for him to get back in the winner's circle. This is a great spot for him. He usually putts well on Poa Greens, has played well here before in the past. He missed the cut last year at the Farmers, but third in 2023, T21 in 2020. Only seen him a couple times so far this year, but that's a T17 at Pebble and finished second place at the Century. So plays tough courses great. We see all that. He might not be the longest off the tee, But he hits irons and long irons incredibly well, has good enough around the greens play here, I think, to make a difference. And we saw that really play out with Harris English getting his win a few weeks ago. We've seen over the years at Torrey Pines around the green play and scrambling become a little bit more important. So Morikawa, top 10 and an outright for me on him. Talked about Ludvig Åberg with Sia Dejad a bit. I'm in on an outright with him and then a top 20 bet on Ludvig. I expect to see a guy that he looked incredible early before he got sick. I think we're getting a little bit of a price discount on Ludvig Åberg this week. So this is more of a price play for me, but this is a course. He doesn't have a ton of history yet because he's still a younger guy, but his game sets up perfect for this course. So 28-1 on him in the top 20, was able to grab a minus 120 at. And then a couple longer shots. Daniel Berger, I didn't back up with anything else. Berger 90-1, Woodland 120-1. These are guys that just off the tee ball striking stats are rating out very highly for me right now. And Berger, I got a soft spot for him. Love covering him in South Florida. Really don't want to miss out on if Daniel Berger gets in the winner's circle here. And then Gary Woodland, I've played a lot of Gary Woodland. I played him last week. He just finished outside the top 20 for me, which stung a bit last week. But I'm going back to him on an outright this week and then a top 20 bet. He has still played consistent golf this year. T21 at the Waste Management, T22 at Pebble, T16 at the Sony. It is three starts this year on the PGA Tour. I think Gary Woodland's going to pick up a win at some point this year.
All right, so Kelly, my question is, and it's nothing with any of the guys that you've got plays on. You said that you've got to essentially drive the crap out of the ball on a course like this, right? Isn't that Zalatoris' game? Doesn't he have a great driver? I'm seeing him at 45-1.
Yeah.
Should he be a little shorter than that? Or is this a kid who was kind of a flash in the pan? He came and went.
So I did bet. I bet him when they at the Farmers here. I think he's still a good fit for this event. His game, great ball striker. He's another guy. I'm kind of like Morikawa, long irons. He is one of the best with. So when you're looking at those 175 to 200 plus yard ranges, he's one of the guys that rates out highest there. I'm still giving, after a few weeks ago, I did bet him at Farmers when they were here.
Okay.
I'm going to give him a little bit more time, but I don't hate that play at all this week. Couple of the other bets that I did make outside of outrights, Minwoo Lee, I played him last week as well. Another guy, he finished one shot out of me cashing a top 10 on him. I'm going back to top 10. It's a worse price this week, but plus 360. He's great off the tee and great around the green here, around the green, Joe. Approach game, not as awesome. Would love to see that step up, but he's clicking in the spots that are going to matter at this course specifically, off the tee and around the green. And then top 20s, Shane Lowry. I played a few weeks ago. I still think you're getting a good price on Shane Lowry, a guy who can play through tough conditions if it becomes that. Adam Scott played a top 20 on him as well, plus 175. And then Tommy Fleetwood, didn't think I was going to get involved with, but a good price, I think, in the top English golfer market, plus 125 on him.
I didn't even know that there was a market for that top English player. Amazing. Morikawa, I like that price, top 10.
Yeah.
That is a really good price. NBA with JVT up next. It's a numbers game with Joe Serallo, Kelly Bidlin.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on A Numbers Game, Joe Serallo alongside Kelly Bidlin. I'm excited for this next spot because we are about to welcome into the show a guy who refuses to come on cashing out with Joe Serallo. He avoids it like the plague, so I'm glad we finally caught him now. I was able to dupe him into doing a guest spot with me. Let's hit the progressive guest line. Welcome in our own JVT with a locked and loaded NBA slate coming up.
Another John. We got John.
I mean... Yeah, the right John.
We got the right
off.
John? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, this is John Von Tobel, not John Fanta. the other part, to refuse to go on to a show, you have to be invited first. So I don't know where that comes from. I don't think I've ever been asked to go on cashing out because I would happily go on.
I mean, you could just stay at the desk and you know, we could just do the open together next time after you're wrapping up primetime. JVT, how are you, man?
I'm good. Outside of, just trying to sift through this card, getting ready, I'll be on with Follow the Money. So I have a lot of pressure on me. I'm filling in for Mitch Moss. So to be on with Paulie Howard later today, an honor. My family's honor at stake later today. So very excited for what's going to happen later today.
What's your favorite game on this card? I mean, every team in action, it's a busy one. What do you like the most?
I mean, so the lone bet that I've made, I went for some injury reports and whatnot, but Celtics are taking on the Spurs. And I don't know how you guys feel about what you've seen here from these four games now with San Antonio, with De'Aaron Fox now in the mix. But this really hasn't been that great. They've been pretty poor defensively. It's kind of carrying on from what they were the team prior to the trade. They have failed to cover three of the four games that they have played. They've won two of them, so it's kind of been middling against some pretty weak opposition. They lose to the Charlotte Hornets the way that they do. I have not been impressed with San Antonio, and I think that Boston, with the way that they're playing, I get the up and down nature of what's been happening, but I don't think San Antonio is anything defensively for Boston at all. I think Boston's going to be able to come in, even with the shorthanded nature of the roster. Drew Holiday's not playing. We know that Jaylen Brown's questionable to play. That I think that the Celtics are going to be able to cover this number. So about 8.5 was fair here to lay for Boston. I think the San Antonio Spurs have been a little overvalued by the market. We know that coming into this game, guys, they are now 5-11 ATS in their last 16 games or somewhere in that round. Like, the market's just been too high on San Antonio. So I'll take my shot fading the Spurs on the road, because I have not been impressed with this new iteration of San Antonio and haven't been impressed with them since before the trade either.
Yeah, I was, JVT, you know, I was getting excited about it, just like Zach Cohen was after watching that first game with De'Aaron Fox. I've backed off a little bit. It's, I think we need to see this play out a little bit more before we get really excited about what San Antonio can do again. We'll talk about the Western Conference a little bit. I was close to pulling the trigger on the Celtics as well. Jaylen Brown, that does concern me a little bit. He didn't play the other night. I kind of, when we're talking about heading into the All-Star break, I don't know if I expect him to play tonight, but at the same time, yeah, I was kind of leaning Celtics anyways. I think that's probably the right side. I had one. The only play for me on this card was the Thunder, and I am laying big time points against the Miami Heat. I don't know about you, but this Miami team, you could throw in a couple others too. Dallas Mavericks, that you're looking to attack right now. Phoenix Suns. Are there a group of teams that kind of post trade deadline that you're kind of looking to attack regularly?
Yeah, you hit one of them. It's the Dallas Mavericks. Kelly, if they're not, like, their center rotation is so beat up. I think I texted you and Zach yesterday. Like, they're going to call Zach at some point to play center for them. Daniel Gafford's done for 2 weeks. They're going to reevaluate him, as we know. As we know, Anthony Davis is injured. We know that Derek Lively has been missing time. Hell, even Dwight Powell is injured as well and not available for them. They're so small. And I brought this up with humans when we talked about this the other day. A lot of people like to say, like, oh, just play small ball. Well, it's not that simple, right? It's not just like, hey, play a 2-3 zone. Like, no, there's some intricacies to this. You can't just play five guys that are under 6-7 and under and think, like, this is going to work. This is going to be great. No, there's got to be a way that you execute this, and I have not been thoroughly impressed. I mean, you look at them defensively too, Kelly. Who's their main stopper? Because, DeMar DeRozan the other night absolutely lights them up, hits them in the game winner. At one point was 10 of 11 from the floor. They had no answer for a perimeter threat like DeMar DeRozan. So what happens when we go into the rest of this season and you're taking on these teams, these elite perimeter threats? So I think they're a team that's definitely worth fading, especially if they're going to have real no rim protection, no guy to kind of back up these dudes at the point of attack to at least give them a little bit of help on the back end. Dallas, to me, is one team that's very much worth looking at to play against and to play some of these games over the total. I think they're very, very poor defensively, but they still have some really good upside on offense. I think you're going to find yourself with some high-scoring affairs. And just like we saw the other night against Sacramento, the thing was really high-scoring even before they went to overtime. And Dallas is definitely right now, in the current iteration, a team I think worth circling to play against as we move forward.
JVT, my Knicks here coming off, in the middle of a back-to-back, coming off a great win in Indiana, hosting Atlanta. Look, I love everything this team is doing right now. Is 8 points just too many to be laying coming off a travel spot here? Now they're back home. Trae Young at MSG. Is this a good spot to play the Hawks +8?
No, I think here's the thing with Atlanta. I've been thoroughly impressed. Like, Joe, they've been covering numbers left and right, despite the fact that this has been a team that has been really reshaped in terms of injuries and because of trades. Obviously, we know that DeAndre Hunter is a Cleveland Cavalier, that Jalen Johnson has been injured and not there. Like, a big part of their success at the beginning portion of the season was the fact that that team was really relying on that trio of wings along with Trae Young to get some stuff done. And they've been covering a lot of these numbers. So I don't know if it's so much the travel as it is that Atlanta has been playing some really good basketball as of late and staying inside of some of these numbers. I mean, guys, the other night, they're on the road against Orlando. Market pushes that up to 8. They win that game outright, 112-106. You know, they win by about 14 against the Washington Wizards and cover that number. Stay inside a number against the San Antonio Spurs, beat the Bucks. So I've actually been pretty impressed with Atlanta. I'm one, Joe, that kind of tends to think travel is a little overvalued. You want to find situations where it's outside of just the second leg of a back-to-back. But even then, go back a couple of days ago, guys. The Memphis Grizzlies caught the Oklahoma City Thunder in a great spot. Memphis was coming in on 2 days of rest. Oklahoma City was playing their third game in 4 nights in the second leg of a back-to-back, and Oklahoma City handled them, right? So as travel is not the biggest thing in the world. You're looking for these 5-7s, things like that, but I don't think this is the worst spot. But I'll say this for your Knicks. Second consecutive emotional game, right? Indiana, the revenge spot with what happened in the postseason. You play them last night. Yep. Now you get to take on Atlanta, and we know about Trae Young and everything going out in the guard and whatnot. So maybe that's going to be a little tough to cover a number like this, but I don't think the travel would bother you too much.
Lakers at Jazz tonight. We just saw them play the other night in L.A. Yep. Lakers laying 8.5 right now on the road. 235, 235.5 the total for this game. Is there any way that you've been planning on betting or have been betting on the Lakers, against the Lakers, ways to attack them? I played Walker Kessler over his rebounds in the first game, kind of went right back to it, playing a double-double on that tonight. Any way that you're kind of looking to play on or against the Lakers with the new look team?
Yeah, so what I did when they played the Jazz the other night, and I barely got there, so I think I might try this one more time, Kelly, but I went team total over with Utah. Mm-hmm. Their team total the other night was 110.5. They got off to a really rough start in the first half. Second half had an offensive rating of about like 118, performed much better, and got over it. I think they ended up with 113 points. And I think it might be worth going back to the well one more time here. I'm going to see what the market does with the total. But the logic here being that, look, the Lakers, similar to what we're talking about with the Dallas Mavericks, but just not to that extent. But they're just not really good, I think, defensively. I think this is going to be a team. I mean, we see the total here, 235. I think the other night it was floating around like 237 against Utah. I think that this is going to be a team that's going to find itself in a lot of high-scoring affairs because, again, you look, especially at the starting lineup that's going to be thrown out there with Austin Reeves, with Luka Doncic, LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, Jackson Hayes. You tell me who you're putting out there and going, go stop him, buddy, right? Like, there's not that many guys that's in this roster they're going to do that outside of maybe potentially trusting like a Dorian Finney-Smith to go and do it for you, and he's coming off of the bench, played, I think, 36 minutes the other night. So I think I want to play some of these games over with Los Angeles or some of these opponent team totals over. Maybe not asking Utah to stay inside of this number, but asking them to score at a pretty high clip. Did it the other night. They got there, and I think that's the tact I'm going to take against Los Angeles moving forward.
Talked about teams earlier that you have circled that you want to go against and fade. I think Phoenix would be about the best team to do that to, at least thus far throughout the NBA season. Catching 6.5 at Houston. It is another back-to-back spot, which, you know, you kind of shot down how much you weigh into that. But the Suns now going from home to Houston. You think the Rockets cover this number? I know that they've been struggling a bit themselves lately, too, but Phoenix has been the epitome of struggling this season.
Yeah, it's amazing how the ebbs and flows of a season work, right? Houston goes to the stretch, Joe, where they beat the Cavaliers twice. They go to Boston. They beat up on the Celtics. They win that game. They beat the Hawks. And then since then, it's six straight losses, and you finally get one against the Raptors, to what you're alluding to here. The
answer is simple, John. Fred VanVleet's just the greatest basketball player ever. We just didn't know.
Especially, did he have a child or something? I don't know. Remember, post
Jordan,
child.
He's LeBron, Fred VanVleet. Okay,
let's post child. I think you're right. I don't know. I don't understand like how to describe what has happened with Houston dropping off this cliff like this. But I'll say this, and by the way, mixed in there, two losses to the Nets. Like, what the hell happened? But I don't want to back Phoenix, Joe, because just this is totally non-analytical, data-wise, whatever. The vibes just seem to be off, right? Like, you're getting reports of rumblings that they're headed for a breakup with Kevin Durant in the offseason. There are very, very strong pushings and rumblings as well that Devin Booker's time as a Phoenix Sun might be begun in the offseason as well. By the way, this team they're taking on tonight might be the beneficiary of that, grabbing one of those two guys in the offseason, so keep an eye out for that. But I think that I'm just not in the business of backing Phoenix, considering how bad they've been defensively and just how off they've been from a chemistry standpoint. So to me, it would be Houston or nothing here. Like you mentioned, they've been playing pretty poorly. They're coming off of a home win over the Toronto Raptors, but still kind of scuffled in that spot. A little bit of a get right after some time off here for Houston. Makes some sense to come in and lay it against Phoenix. They've had they've had like 2 days off here since they last played on Sunday, and I think it'd be a good situation for Houston.
JVT, you're the best, man. Really appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. I have John Fanta's number, too, by the way, if you need it.
There it is.
I do, too. Or maybe.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at MeJVT. Folks, sports betting never slows down. You shouldn't either. A lot of action coming up, even though football season's over. Starting with the Daytona 500 this weekend. March Madness, the MLB season right around the corner. So get your VSiN Pro subscription now. $9.99 for your first 30 days. VSiN.com/subscribe. Don't miss out.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game continues. I'm Joe Cirillo. He's Kelly Bidlin as we take you through your Wednesday morning here on the show. And we get ready to get into some Best Bets recap. Best Bets, of course, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN.
I got to address the hat first.
Do we have to? I just wanted to see how long we could go without.
Shout out to Buddhist Man. Thank you for getting me my AFC conference hat. I did have a bet on the AFC.
How'd that go for you?
This would have been cooler a week or two ago, and yeah, it didn't work out very well. But it's a very high quality hat. Next time I'm on the fishing boat or something like that, I think I'm ready to go.
I was so ready to not bring it up until the final minute of this, and just let you do the whole segment wearing the hat and not say a word about it.
Which is somehow becoming a running tradition. Gil goes out of town, and I put on some silly hat for a segment. So yeah, I don't know why.
I can't wait to see what tomorrow holds. Maybe Justin Emery will let you borrow the leprechaun top hat.
Oh yeah, that's
a good call. Did you see that when he had to pay his bet to Tim?
Oh my gosh, that was great. That was fantastic.
That was absolutely incredible. Let's get into my best bets. Coming off a 2-0 day in college hoops, got two more for you. Not the best number on St. John's when I locked it in last night at minus 2.5, thinking that it would go up to 3, 3.5. Well, it did go up to 3.5. Now it's back down to 2 at most shops, 1.5 at DraftKings, the best number in the market. Look, with this game, people want to believe it's a letdown spot. Great coaches like Rick Pitino don't allow letdown spots to happen. I am all in on this St. John's team. Best St. John's team of my lifetime. They're also one of the best defensive teams in the country, allowing under 65 points per game. They're top 10 on the offensive glass. They're incredible top 30 in the nation in rebounding differential. So for Villanova, it is pretty simple. You hit your shots from beyond the arc, you're in this game, you probably win in this game. If not, it could be a long night for the Wildcats. UConn went up big 26-12 on St. John's early in that one. Then they couldn't shoot. St. John's held them to just 8 of 29 from beyond the arc. So give me the Johnnies, that pestering, incredible defense under Pitino. They do all the little things, hitting the glass, playing D. I'll take them -2.5 here. If you can get it now, -1.5, go for it. The Johnnies, by the way, covering at a 65% clip, 3-1 against the number as road favorites, 7-3 with a rest advantage. That's another reason I don't think it's a letdown spot. Mm-hmm. They played UConn Friday night, Kelly. Villanova, most teams played Saturday. You know, you look at that Saturday to Tuesday. Well, this is a Friday to Wednesday spot. Hey. So I'm not worried about the time between an emotional game.
All the time to check in with the girlfriend, get ahead on some homework, or catch up on some homework, all that good stuff.
Yeah, as long as you're not catching, the girlfriend with one of your teammates. That's, of course,
that's where
things go wrong
issue.
In college hoops. I think that's what happened when Bama lost outright to Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago, because that was inexplicable. Other game, Drake -2.5. Look, this is just kind of a matchup of Drake's strength on Illinois State's strength. Drake's being defense, Illinois State's being three-point shooting. And the way Drake defends the three, better than almost any team in the country. I mean, they're second in terms of scoring defense and points per game allowed, under 59 points per game allowed. Drake's offense may be mediocre, but I think a middle-of-the-pack offense coupled with that defense should be enough to take down Illinois State. The Bulldogs have won 10 in a row, covering 6 out of 10 and 3 out of their last 4. Give me Drake laying 2.5. We talked about it with Matt Cox earlier. In the Missouri Valley, for some reason, away teams covering at almost a 2/3 clip. Drake on the road in this one. I like him against Illinois State. Let's get to Kelly's best bets. Kelly in the NBA?
Yeah, Thunder laying 12.5 for me against the Miami Heat. Some big question marks on the injury front for Miami, and this Thunder team has just been rolling through the entire NBA pretty much. So laying 12.5 with them. Chalky card tonight. I did play small. Warriors laying 5 on the road against Dallas too, but that number's already got a little too out of control. Walker Kessler double-double -133 and will continue to attack the lack of Lakers bigs down there. So Walker Kessler, I think he gets that done again today.
Mentioned Matt Cox a minute ago, joined the show, of course, from Three Man Weave in hour number one. He's got a couple best bets over in my Atlantic 10 conference. George Washington catching 9 at home against VCU. A-10 opposite of the Missouri Valley, where home teams have been absolutely fantastic. And, teams like Dayton and VCU losing a couple big games on the road, probably why it's going to be a one-bid league. Belmont, another away team in the Missouri Valley Conference, laying 4. This was 4.5. It's come down down a half a tick might be enough for me to buy into that one and tail him as well in that matchup at a really bad, kind of checked out Valpo team. JVT joining us just minutes ago, gave out Boston -8 against San Antonio. You know, Kelly, it's funny, as I was walking in this morning, I was looking up at the big board at Circa behind us, and I saw Celtics first half -5. Mm. And that really, really caught my attention.
Yeah, it's with that one, I would actually look at, I'd rather lay the full 8, just when you're talking about teams that, when you talk about a team as good as Boston, especially if Jaylen Brown plays, I always like to give it the full game for my handicap to play out. And when you've got a team that's as deep as Boston is, it's just, you can get into the fourth quarter, it could still maybe be a close game, and that's when Boston is able to run away with it, when you get some of the San Antonio guys with tired legs. But you know what? It's one of those, I don't play a ton of first halves. I think I should probably play more than I do, honestly, in the NBA. I think it's probably smart if you're chopping up like a quarter of a unit and throw it on the first half with almost any full game bet you do. It's probably something I should be looking into more, but I understand why you're looking.
Well, I remember last year that was Boston's MO, and I haven't been keeping up with the trends this year as much because I just don't bet the NBA that much. But I remember last year Boston was one of the best first half teams, actually the best first half team in the league. Kelly, how about some golf action here?
Yeah, we'll run through Sina Jad and my bets for golf. I'm in the meantime just pulling up first half ATS spreads, but getting spun to death. Okay, your best first half ATS team in the NBA. Oh my God, I could give you 1,000 guesses. Sorry, guys, hold on. I'm going to get Sina's bets in a second. I give you 1,000 guesses, you wouldn't get that the Brooklyn Nets are the best first half ATS team. 32-20. That is pretty impressive. Okay, golf bets. Sina Jad, start with. Over Genesis Invitational, again, this is being played at Torrey Pines. Rory McIlroy on his outright card. Rory McIlroy 7-1, Ludvig Åberg 25-1, Robert McIntyre 45-1, and then a top 30 on Gary Woodland. Tournament matchup, Wyndham Clark over Cameron Young, and then first round leaders where Sia is always one of the best at Taylor Pendrith and Bobby Mack in the first round leader market for him. Over on my card, outrights, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg. So we share the same sentiment on Ludvig this week. And then a couple longer shots for you, Daniel Berger and Gary Woodland. Top 10s on Morikawa and Minwoo Lee, plus 360 on Minwoo Lee. Just trying to play an upside here on Minwoo, who's, I think he's going to have a good year on the PGA Tour. And a lot of things that are required out of the golfer this week on Torrey Pines is where his strong suits lie, off the tee, around the green specifically. Top 20s then, found a cheaper price on Ludvig, so did play it at minus 120. I think you can look at him in the top 10 market too, though, if you want a little bit more bang for your buck. Shane Lowry, plus 115, top 20 on him. Adam Scott, plus 175, top 20. And then Gary Woodland backing that up with another top 20 play on him, plus 260, and Tommy Fleetwood to be your top Englishman at the Genesis Invitational.
Again, a market that I did not know existed that really intrigues me now. All of a sudden, does that go for other countries too?
Oh, yeah. This is...
you can go down by country,
this
huh?
This is several books now. I'll pull up what DraftKings has real quick, but it is, you know, usually you get top American. Those are the ones... You know, I think those ones we think
that
top
air, shock me, yeah.
like older books, even back in the day, we'd have top American, top European sometimes. But DraftKings currently has top American, top European, top Englishman, top Irishman, top Great Britain and Ireland, top Canadian, top Asian, top continental European, which was always a fun way to bet John Rahm when he was back on the tour.
Right.
Top Nordic, top North American, top Oceania, and top rest of the world.
That is bizarre. That is absolutely incredible. You know what else is incredible, folks? That GBank is upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening will receive a $250 bonus. But in addition to that, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now, VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. I think I'm going to add one more game to the card. And this one's just solely based on the numbers. After all, I am filling in on a numbers game. VMI catching 9.5 at UNC Greensboro. We talked about Robert Morris earlier and, you know, those mid-majors, small teams that you don't really pay much attention to typically. That's usually where an edge can be found in betting college hoops. And I don't know if I'm going to get there, although Robert Morris is up to 5 right here at Circa, it looks like. So maybe, you know, if that keeps going up, if I can get to 6, I'll definitely pounce on it. But VMI catching 9.5. They're 12-5 against the number as an underdog this year, 10-2 against the number in SoCon action. Not a good basketball school historically, but man, are they covering this year. Folks, stay tuned to VSiN after a numbers game wraps up. Money Moves coming up with Stormy Bonantoni and Grace Remington at noon Eastern. Then stick around for the newly revamped Prop Points with Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson at 2 Eastern. And finally, Make It Rain with my guy Adam Schein, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. You are not going to want to miss that. Kelly, it was a blast, man.
Always.
Another fun day.
I can't wait to check out Prop Points. Nick Whalen and those guys, man. That's going to be a fun show, too.
Yeah, I was used to having them on Cashing Out every week, him and Jeff. Those are two phenomenal guys. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. That does it for a numbers game.